from you, no. And you will never know. I will never show what I feel, what I need from you.
You just listened to You Will Never Know by Imani from The Shape of a Broken Heart record. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys, or you can become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, now I'm on Instagram. Check me out, Saturdays with Joy Keys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are past 1 million downloads. Wow, could not have done that without your support. So I just want to say thank you. Today is a pre-recorded interview. I had a special opportunity to speak with French soul singer Imani in Paris, France. So I hope that you enjoy the interview, but unfortunately you will not be able to ask questions. Thank you. So this is Joy Keys, and this is Imani.
Hi.
Hi. You say hi.
Sorry.
So tell me, how did you start in music? Were you a baby and you just were playing drums and singing? Is there somebody musical in your family? How did you start in music?
I don't know if I was a baby and start drumming. Nobody ever told me that, so I don't think so. But no one in my family was musical. It was something that I had it in me. I really wanted to sing. But it took me a while to just figure it out, to have some of the courage, you know, to do it. Because, you know, when you're not from music, you have to learn everything. And I didn't have the parental support, I guess. So it's only when I got in New York, then I started to talk to musicians and started, you know, to learn what it is that we call music. But, and also I had a big complex about my voice, so I didn't think that someone with such a typical voice as such as mine could sing, really. So it took me a while to overcome all of that, you know.
So you were, before I know, modeling with Ford. And how did that start? Somebody saw you, or you went out to Ford and said, I want to model, take me?
No. I was in the subway when a modeling scout stopped me, which happens really often. It's really not a fairy tale. No. I know a lot of models that were stopped in the mall, or, you know. And at the time, I was in high school. And when my friends were trying to apply for, you know, part-time jobs at, you know, McDonald's and stuff like that, you know, someone stopped me and asked me if I wanted to be a model, and I thought it was a better option.
Definitely better option than McDonald's. So how long did you model, and where did you go with the modeling? Where were you able to travel?
Well, I started at 17, and I want to say maybe I stopped around 27, so it was 10 years of that, and I went everywhere. I started in Paris, but then a few years after that, I went to New York, but I lived a little bit in Italy, you know, in Rome, and then at some point, I based myself in New York for about 7 years.
Did you find any difficulty being a black model modeling in the industry, or do you feel like you were treated the same?
Well, I think we are treated the same, but it is more difficult to get jobs just because they don't have that many jobs for black girls. I think it's changing because now I see in magazines and stuff that big brand that would never use black girls do now. And now there are about two or three, even sometimes four black girls in the runaway shows.
Yeah.
Even in Paris.
Wow. I know they were talking about a lot of Asian models now in the industry. Do you see that coming in Paris or around the globe?
There's probably a little bit more. I wouldn't say a lot. Mm-hmm. I think it's a big statement.
Okay.
But I think there's still less Asian than there is blacks. There's more blacks.
Right.
And so, yeah, it wasn't that we were treated differently on the job. We were treated the same. I mean, as far as I can say. But it's just there was less job. And modeling is a very hard job anyway. Even for those who work really well, it's a very hard job. I would never, if I had a daughter, I wouldn't say. No, if she wanted to be a model, I'll try to tell her that's probably not a good idea. She'll do what she wants. But at the end, honestly, I don't think it's such a great job for women's self-esteem. I think, especially because we started at such a young age where we...
So impressionable.
Yeah, and also we're trying to build ourselves.
Right.
And so you're building yourself against people that ask you, how much do you weigh? What's on your face? Don't dress like this. Don't dress like that. Don't say this. Don't say that. And it's difficult. And then this is what's going to be a part of your womanhood a few years later.
Yeah.
And I think it's more negative than positive, even though...
Yeah.
I had a good experience overall, but if I had to do it all over again, I probably would choose another route. I don't think I would have been a model.
Now, in terms of the music, you said you had a difficulty coming to it and trying to get yourself geared up because of your voice. Who were your stars? Who did you look to as a model for yourself?
As a model?
As a singing model for yourself.
As a model, no one. I think I probably would have been a better model if I liked the job. And I always thought, it's maybe arrogant to say that, I always thought I was too smart for that job. So all the thing, I just thought I was bored a lot. You know, you use really 5% of your brain.
Mm.
That is it, you know. So you're bored most of the time, especially when you like to be challenged.
Yeah.
You like to. So as a singer, I'd say that I was influenced by Tracy Chapman. Tracy Chapman was someone who woke me up where I was, okay, because I thought it was a boy at first.
Okay.
You know, I heard it on the radio, I heard Tracy Chapman, you know, Tracy could be a boy.
Whatever.
You know, and she has this very masculine voice, and I really thought she was a boy. And when you look at the cover of the first album, it, you know, it's not obvious. And then one day someone told me that it was a woman, and so that I thought, you know, that I found someone similar to me, you know? And she was a superstar in Europe, a superstar. And I thought, you know, oh, wow, so you could actually have a voice like that and have a career.
Yeah.
So it was my first wake-up call.
You know, Michelle Ndegeo-Chalo, she has a very deep, husky voice.
Right.
But the funny thing is, when I talk to her, she has a high voice. But so do you listen to her music at all, or are there any other singers?
Yeah, I like her music. I came to come across her music later, though, because Tracy Chapman, it's more my days, I'd say, because 89, you know, I was 10. And but I listened to her music. Her album, Bitter, is a really good album. I was a fan for a while. You know, after, I think... she changed direction and I didn't follow, that's it.
I'll be there to comfort you, build my world of dreams around you. I'm so glad that I found you. I'll be there when the love that's strong, I'll be your strength. I'll keep holding on. Let me fill your heart with joy and laughter. Togetherness is all I'm after. Whenever you need me, I'll be there.
How about any other foreign influences? Because your family, you were born in France, but it's Comoros, is that the correct pronunciation? Any African, Latin musicians, Asian musicians?
Asian musicians? No. Let me think. Well, you know, there's always the, how you call it? Comment dire le folklore? The traditional, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay.
The traditional. There is always the traditional music from where I'm from that I grew up listening to. So it is part of my influences. In African music or even Creole music are part of the Black community, you know, music culture here. So there's always. I don't have any specific group or band, or but you know, I can recognize the song and be like, oh, I like this song, you know. Mm-hmm. But I have to say that at a very young age, I was very attracted to the English and American, you know, music, pop music.
Yeah. Now, on the album, you do sing one song. It's in English and in the Comoronian. Was that your decision? Did somebody say, oh, let's do this? Or you just thought, oh, I think this is a good idea?
No, it was my decision. I didn't plan on it. We were writing the song, and then we had the space for the verse. And for some reason, a Comorian came to me, and I just thought it was the best idea, and I still do.
Now, your first album, you have a lot of love and a lot of pain. Is that something personal, or just, oh, let me try this?
No, some of it is. Some of it is from people from around me. You know, a song like Where Have You Been never happened to me. But when I wrote that song, you know, about this girl that has had enough and put her man in the streets.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I think a lot of women can relate to that.
Right, exactly. And when I wrote it, I was like, okay, I said, what Tina Turner would say. Tina Turner is a good influence also for me. It's a big influence. And okay, so what would she say? And so I wrote a song from that.
Yeah.
But you can't relate. I can't relate. Everybody can't relate to the fact that, you know, I've had enough. Now you need to go. I don't care if it's late. You gotta go. It's a question of your own sanity.
Yeah. I'm a fire sign. You are the sign. I know you and I will never fly. We already tried a million times. I know the alibis of all your crimes. But I could say please, 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 please. You'll never change, 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 change. I could say please, 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 please. It'll be the same, 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 same.
The some of the songs, country, very country sounding. Is there country music that you listen to? It was odd for me to hear country music from a French black person, you know?
I understand. It wasn't my plan to do country. I do love country. Like, what I like about country, not all the music, but I'm a fan of Dolly Parton, for instance, because I think she's a great songwriter. And she has a way to put pain into words like no other.
Yeah.
And and it's a very feminine perspective, too. And I can't always say that I always agree with her, because sometimes it's very needy and, you know, it's anti-feminist, I'd say. But there's a melancholy in the country music that I like, that I see. And maybe when we produced the song, we didn't do it intentionally, but you heard it because it's your culture. I mean, it's American music.
Yeah.
But we didn't say, okay, we're going to do a country song, you know.
Some of the influence also is some Latin music. Do you listen to Latin music or Spanish music here, or just a mishap?
Well, it's probably a mishap. I don't really listen to Latin music.
Okay.
But the music scene in France is very multicultural, because, you know, it's a small country in the middle of Europe,
right,
where, you know, there's many people. So it's not like I grew up listening to it, but I heard a lot of it, you know. So influences comes from everywhere without you knowing really where they're from. So sometimes it's not my idea, but sometimes a guitar player come with, you know, an idea, and it's kind of Latin and it works, so we keep it, you know. Be different for this movie, for instance. We went to Dakar, Senegal. We went to a few residents, or writing residents, we call it, writing sessions, where we leave for 2 weeks, or about, and,
okay,
and sometimes it's longer, and all we do is write, and my producer has this studio where he has the rooms upstairs and a full staff, so you work, you sleep where you work.
Okay.
So for 2 weeks you don't see anything. butt does to you.
Wow.
But there's no distraction. And usually after 2 weeks, you know, a working session, we have about 8-10 songs, you know. So it's a good process because it's about like sports. It's like running. The more you do, the easier it gets.
Right.
But usually I like to be isolated. I like to have my little cup of tea. And but I don't have a better moment. It's not the morning. It comes to me. But I find that if I take my guitar every day, something's going to come up because it's like the say, inspiration has to find you working.
Do you play any other instruments other than the guitar?
Not really. I mean, I can't really say that I play the guitar because I started 2 years ago. I go by. But and the same with the piano because, like I said, I start music really late, so I'm teaching myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, in your 30s, it's hard. So I know enough so I can, you know, compose music.
Mm.
And then I give it to a much experimented, you know, guitar player, and he does it better. He makes it prettier for me to present. But I still have a lot to work on. Yeah.
There's a whole lot of women in me. You're wondering what I mean? I see me, the good, the bad, and the crazy. I come in many shades and shapes, so don't put up the barricades. I'm not here to make a war, but I get crazy sometimes. I'm out of my mind. I'm out of my mind. Nothing can bring me down or keep me sound. I won't get home on time.
So the film, did you get to meet with the other singers, or you just wrote for them based on what you knew about them?
Well, actually, the funny thing is we wrote the songs, and then we went and looked for singers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because, well, here's the thing, because sometimes we don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the right song and the right voice, it's going to work.
Okay.
And so the hardest part is to find the right song. Honestly, so once we found the right songs and that the director was happy with them, so we're like, okay, we need to find the voice. And it was pretty magical the way it happened because, for instance, for Emily Gassin, she's from Australia, my producer went to a concert and she was opening, and so he bought her EP, brought it to me, and there was that one song that broke my heart. I was like, okay, we're gonna try her out. And the way that we did, we were like, okay, we have those songs, try to pick two.
Okay.
The one that talks to you. And we did a tryout in the studio, and there was one, it just sounded like it was her song.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're like, okay, we're gonna give it to you. And it was like that, you know. Some singers I knew, and I liked their voice, and I did the same thing, and it worked. And we became friends, all of us. And most of them I didn't even know before, but because after that we went to Senegal, and we did the vocals and everything over there for 10 days, you know, it brings people closer.
You had to get close.
It's fun.
Who are you going to collaborate with in the future? Do you see yourself doing an album with another singer, a woman, a man?
I don't know. You know, like I say, I don't plan things that way.
Mm-hmm.
If it do happen that I come across someone and we, you know, we click and we want to do something together,
mm-hmm.
I could totally do it.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm starting the studio on Saturday for my second album. And right now, no, it's just me. but I'm open to it. You know, I want to do art. You know, I want to do beautiful thing. And if it makes sense, then I'll do it. You know,
I can see you with some people like Cody Chestnut, Ahmad Sultan. He's from Morocco. Different sounds, you know. You mentioned earlier about Dolly Parton and feminism. Do you consider yourself a feminist?
Well, yes, I think everybody should be a feminist.
Okay.
Because feminist is being a humanist. Comment dit humaniste?
Oui,
you can say that. But because it's nothing more than saying that women have the same right as men.
Mm.
I mean, to me, it's when I, you know, there's this movement, the anti-feminist thing on the internet. That doesn't make any freaking sense to me, because
they all have moms. Why are they going to be anti-feminist?
Well, they're women. I mean, if you, okay, it's especially when they say, you know, I love my husband, so you know, I'm not a feminist. Okay. yes. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's like saying, I don't know, I'm anti, you know, hunger, world hunger, because I eat every day.
Yeah.
Right. What are you talking about, right. You know? So I think everybody should be a feminist.
Do you see yourself having problems in the music industry because you're a woman? Do you see yourself being treated differently because of that?
No, it's not that, but for instance, for this music, this movie soundtrack, I went and looked up for how many women have been nominated for the César, which is Oscars.
Okay.
Never. So there is a problem somewhere.
Yeah.
And if you look up the Oscar, I'm pretty sure there's not that many.
No, no. You know, you guys have the first female mayor in Paris.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
It's a good thing. I'm pretty sure she's going to be as bad as the previous one. And I think that's also feminism. You know, women are as incompetent as men when it comes to politics. And it's, you know, and it's a good thing in a way, because it's just...
to being human.
Right, exactly.
We're all human.
Yeah.
All human. So now, in terms of the fame, you have like multi-platinum, Poland, Italy, here. How do you deal with the people coming up to you, grabbing on you, wanting your autograph? Do you get overwhelmed or no, it's okay?
It depends on the countries. Because Italian, for instance, they're very, comment dire, persistent.
Mm.
So the Italian, photo, 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 they don't even say hello.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, after a long tour and you're tired and you just want to be treated like a human being, which is, hi, how are you?
Right.
It gets to you. But most of the time, really, it's part of the job. And it's a good thing. Most of the time, people want to have a picture because they like you. Or most of in Paris, I still take the subway, and people that recognize me, they're like, oh, we like your music very discreetly, because okay. This is how the people are here. They're
yeah.
not going to make a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's nice, you know, you go about your day,
okay.
and sometimes stop you, and someone stopped you and said that he liked your music. That's pretty nice.
Yeah. So you said you're going into the studio Saturday.
Yeah.
What is the tone of this? Because the first one, like I said, love, you have pain. Is it the same thing? Are you a romantic?
Well, it is. But love is part of life, you know. Love is life. So it's probably not as brokenhearted that the first one.
Okay.
And, you know, the first one was released in 2011, and in between I had a 3-year tour worldwide. I mean, we even toured in Japan, and we did the movie thing. So I hope, you know, I'm a little bit more experienced, a little bit more mature. I'm the same, but I changed.
Yeah.
And I hope that it shows in my music, basically.
Okay.
And I hope what I learn on stage and what I learn off stage is going to be, you're going to be able to feel it.
Yeah.
That's all.
So on a personal level, how do you maintain relationships? Do you see yourself becoming a mom, having a family in the future? How does that fit in with touring?
Yeah, touring is complicated. Well, you know, yeah, if I could be a mom, it would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But you adapt like any other mom,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's an advantage to be an artist that can work the schedule. You know, if tomorrow I become a mom, I know many artists that are mothers, and they only tour 3 months a year. And it's spread out throughout the year, so
okay.
it's not so bad. Most of the time, they actually see their children more than regular moms who have, like, 9-to-5 jobs, you know? So we'll see, you know, we'll see, we'll adapt, you know? I'm pretty sure it's not the worst thing in the world.
And I understand life isn't a friend, it's so hard sometimes, but guess what? You're not the only one. The door is shut, but so is your mind. slow down, take your time, it'll be alright. If you decided to get on the sun, take it easy, take it easy.
Who chooses that? Do you? You have a stylist? Where do you get your style from?
Well, usually I dress myself. I do have a stylist sometimes help me when I don't have the time. For instance, I have this big party next week. I don't have the time to shop. I call her and I say, okay, do you think you can call one of your contacts and see if you can find me a dress? Mm-hmm. But for the stage and for the everyday life, usually it's me. I always like fashion. When I was in New York struggling to pay the rent, I was a shopping planner.
Yeah.
You know, so I always liked that. And the fact that I was French, I had a lot of clients.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to young artists? Do you think they should be singers, or tell them to go to school and become an engineer?
No. I mean, if you want to be an artist, my advice would be to work really, really hard, because it's a really, really, really hard job. And even when you become a singer, you gotta even work harder. Even when you become successful, this is when it gets even trickier, because you think you arrived, but you haven't. And I said that you have to follow your heart. It really, it sounds like a sentence out of a movie, but at the end of the day, that's all you have. You got one shot, one life. You can have many lives inside of it, mm-hmm. You know, but you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I told my daughter the same thing. I said, you can be this one day. You can come 10 years later, be something else. 5 years later, you can do something else. You know, you don't have to just be one thing, you know.
There's no limitation. I was a model, and then before I was an athlete, and before I was just a regular teenager, and now I'm a singer, and I was just a singer, and then now I'm a writer, a singer-songwriter, and you know, and I do movie soundtrack. I never thought in a million years that I would do that. Especially, it looked so complicated, so difficult, so out of my reach,
right,
to do a movie soundtrack. But then things happen to you, and you roll with the punches, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. So in terms of keeping stable, religion, do you have a religion? Do you meditate? Do you do yoga? How do you keep the center?
That's a good question. Sometimes I lose the center. My religion, I'm a Muslim. But if I am honest, every morning I write 3 pages. My meditation comes through writing, and so my conversation with God is with this 3 pages every morning. And then I find that when I don't do it, then I become, you know,
stress,
right, cranky.
Difficult day.
Exactly, for no reason. And the 3 pages help me get centered. And you know, at the end of the 3 pages, you know, I can always start, oh, I suck, you know, what am I doing? But at the end, the last part, I always make a point and say, okay, you suck today, it's all right. But don't forget that you work hard, don't forget that you have this, and that. So then I end up in a very positive note. And it really helps, because at the end of the day, it's true, maybe today you suck, but at the end, on a universal level, you have so much more for yourself. And so I try to hang on to that.
Yeah. Well, for example, who knows, you're going to direct a film one day.
Well, who knows?
I know. So, I mean, at this stage, you still feel unsure? You still have doubts somewhere with all this fame?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. The other day, someone stopped me. She was an actress, a known actress, and she said, oh, I love your music. And I was still shocked that she knew my music.
Mm.
So, but, you know, I think doubts are healthy as long as they don't cripple you, you know? Because at least it helps you stay focused.
Mm.
I have a lot of work to do. I have a lot of things to learn. There's a lot of things I don't know how to do. There's a lot of things I wish I know how to do, and all I have to do is start working on it. So, yeah, and I think you never get rid of your complex, really. You still have them. You just learn to live with them.
Do you get nervous before you get on the stage?
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God. So what do? Jumping jacks? You breathe?
Hello.
Drink water?
I don't want to come all sweaty on stage. Jumping jacks. No, usually, yes. There's one thing that I do. I try to stay on my own for a little bit. And then we go on stage, and usually the musician start before me. They started to do the intro. So it's really something really simple, but I always talk the first sentence that I'm going to sing. Because singing is really the same mechanism as talking. So it just relaxes me. So as long as I can talk the sentence, I'll be able to sing it. I don't know.
Okay.
And then sometimes I ask for my gods to help me. So I'm like, okay, give me the power of Tracy Chapman tonight. Give me the power of Tracy Chapman. I'm super serious. And then I go and I got the power of Tracy Chapman. But sometimes it changes. Sometimes it's not Tracy. Sometimes it's other people. Sometimes it's just people that I know from my family that I find could be an inspiration of the day. And so I ask for their power, and it is given to me, and I go and I do.
How is your family taking this? Are they supportive or not supportive? I see your sister helps you. Does anyone else?
Well, my little brother is my assistant. He goes to school and then he's my assistant. My family, they're very supportive now, you know. I think at first they were not my parents especially, because they were scared. Like a lot of parents, they were scared because, you know, you say, I want to be an artist, so basically you're saying, I want to be a junkie.
You're going to starve, no money, no house.
Right, and I think, you know, they were from a different culture, but then they see I can pay my bills and I have a decent living, you know. It's enough for them, I guess.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for willing to do the talk today. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Hata liwazaze tabu waona eshelea zenjema za hao wakubali leo tilinde mau.
The one far from home, the one that fills your soul.